Can you please introduce yourself and explain to us what your role is at the Native Friendship Center?
Yes, hello, my name is Gordon Bird. I'm the Vice President for the Native Friendship Center here in Montreal. And my role as Vice President is when the President is not available, I take over as the Vice President in his absence.
We all had wind that the Native Friendship Center is at risk of closing. Can you explain us in detail what is going on, why it may close, and give us a little bit of background to help contextualize the situation?
Yes, certainly. Well, largely the reason why the Friendship Center is being closed is that we received a letter from Regroupement, one of the funders, and they're stating that the Friendship Center is no longer part, sits on the national board. The membership was terminated. So if it's being terminated, that means that we can no longer receive funding from the top, which is the federal government, and then Heritage Canada, and then the National Friendship Center of Canada, and then we also have the Regroupement, or RAC. So those three funding bodies, we have to go through the two RAC and the National Friendship Center organization before we can receive the monies. So there was a bilateral agreement that was started up in 2003. And from that point, the Friendship Center was needed help to get out of financial debt. And that was what RAC was there to help bring the Friendship Center out of debt and to help along to stop from going under. So there's a lot of details that are complex that need to be brought into light in terms of why the center is being targeted, because it is being targeted, in terms of infrastructure. There, a part of it is that they're saying we're not feasible. We don't have the ability to run the Intertribal Youth Center here under this roof, which is, that's not true. As we look to our youth, they see they're, well, while they were here, they're very happy. You could see they were very productive. They have a lot of programs going forward. And when we had community events up here, those youth from downstairs would be up here. You know, they'd be very happy. And they, so now the center is closed. And I'm just looking around right now, and there's one, two, three, possibly three youth that are here, whereas there used to be nine or more on a daily basis, and we had students coming to the center to access the service. So now it's no longer. The center is closed, so that's one of the direct funding sources that has been terminated. So now our youth are at risk, very high risk, and it's important. I'm wondering what's happening with them. You know, and I sent out prayers the other day saying, keep them safe. You know, they. I hope they do come back. So back to the question. To radiate more, it's important that we understand the process as to why RAC has made their decision. We had a board meeting, and we brought everything into the light, and we have a really good understanding as to the reasons why. The Friendship Center itself stands on very solid ground in terms of the knowledge and the process. The center has been following the process step by step, both politically correct. Politically correct means that we're following it step one, step two, right through to the final step. The information is accessible to all people, so that's one of the mission statements. If you want to see the financial statements, you can see them under the roof of the Native Friendship Center here in Montreal, and also information, because all the decision making we do at the board of directors level directly affects everybody here in the community. And if something is happening and the member would like to ask, we can show them that. So we have an open book policy on that, which is very important.
We know the Native Friendship Center and the Intertribal Youth Center offer very important resources and support for the youth, but also for the urban Native community. So what exactly are those resources?
The resources are, they vary. Downstairs particularly, they have sculpting, they have acting classes, they have, that I know of. They have special days that they get together. They have ceremonies, healing circles. They have online job hunting skills. There's so many different things. What's the name of that program? Kijidimikam was a part of the youth downstairs as well. They have a recording studio downstairs. The young people were learning how to integrate music and through that tool of music, being able to express their emotions in an open, safe environment. And it was a place for the young people to go. The youth wanted to do something or just a place to hang out, they would do downstairs. Yep, yep. And if they wanted to access knowledge, it was always there. It was just a matter of talking with one of the coordinators. If they needed to talk to somebody, they were always there. Both staff members were available downstairs. And that service was very, very much needed. And it still is needed. And we want to find a way to call that back. Because our youth are, you know, by and large, the heir of the future. If we're doing this to our young people now because of the funding has been cut, you know, it's like their future is directly affected by the lack of this service. It's vitally important that our youth are known that we need you. Do not ever give up on yourself. We're not giving up on you. We're going to continue fighting here for you to come back here. Yeah, and just stand up and make your voice heard. For the Friendship Center, there's lots of programming happening here, both on a regular basis. We have the access to the computers. We also have lunch every day. We have a culture night on Wednesday night. Everybody is invited to that. It's not closed to anybody. We have a big drum come out. Often we've had other people with their drums sing their songs, sing hand songs, dance. So and we have young parents come in with their children. We have some elderly people also show up, which is, it's a wonderful thing, seeing that's what community is, and people are sharing and supporting one another. These are what means to be a community. There's been more smudging ceremonies happening, more prayers, more in terms of a protocol, because part of the core of the spirit of a center are the protocol, smudging, praying. Why do we smudge? Why do we pray? Why do we have protocol? So these are all very fundamentally important to the safety of the spirit and housing that sacred spirit of the Friendship Center. We have Alcoholics Anonymous every Wednesday at 2:30. We have a Kiwassee Street Patrol, and they're very active. Every time I see them, they're doing something. They're on the street. I went out on the road with them one time and seen where they go. They go to the main places where buskers would go. In the wintertime, they provide extra clothing, socks. They were handing out a package, and the package had, you know, basic toiletries. If there were intravenous users that had clean needles, they would be a lot safer for them to inject their chosen choice of drug. For the Wednesday as well, we also have a beating class. An elder comes in and she shares her knowledge about beating. We also have McGill students showing up and wanting to interview or doing research papers. We had the homelessness marathon last month. That was radio broadcast to 41 stations right across Canada on national radio. And that's an all-night event. I was here for a good part of the night for that event. So we have a lot of inner community programs that are easily accessible, but we also have programs that the community themselves, they refer a lot of their clientele to the Friendship Center, because the Native Friendship Center of Montreal is the only urban accessible Friendship Center in all of Montreal. There's no other center that provides the services to all the clientele in this area. So it takes care of a lot of basic needs that people need, services. It's a place, in the wintertime, it's very active here. We have public speakers. We have visitors from different parts of the world. We have different cultural events. The list is endless. The success rate here has been very high in terms of people feeling good. The success rate is not only measured in how people are feeling, but the ability to have a program. If something is successful, it's a grassroots idea. That idea may evolve into something grander.
Offering all of these basic services, why would the Native Friendship Center specifically be targeted to shut down?
So in essence, the center itself on the national level has been targeted. So essentially what's happening here is that there was a bilateral agreement that was agreed upon between RAC and the Friendship Center. It was supposed to be assistance for 5 years. The RAC group wanted to continue on and being one of the people making decisions on behalf of the Friendship Center. The Friendship Center says, we don't need that. We can make our own choices. We have everything in place. to make these decisions on her own. So the agreement, there wasn't a letter basically saying the end of contract. It was just the end of contract. So there was no formal letter saying, you know, contract is ended. I mean, that's what you do in business. You need to be very clear, concise about your information. So this way, there's no gaps in the communication circle. There was also a bit of disagreement, not nepotism. I wouldn't go as far to say there was that.
In the document I received about the community mobilization in action, it says that a lot of the people who come here and benefit from the services offered are in transition or migrating to the city. So for, let's say for those who are maybe in transition, how is it helping them and how is it going to affect them if this center closes?
Well, you're correct. There are a lot of people who use the Friendship Center. They access it for, we have a food bank as well. But by and large, if the center wasn't here, these folks would be sitting in parks. They would be sitting outside the sack getting drunk. They'd be doing other things other than coming here and socializing. Or they would just going somewhere else to sit and have coffee and talk. They wouldn't have a place to call their home. This is by and large the second home to a lot of the people that show up here every day. You know, myself, I've been affiliated with the Friendship Center movement for over 17 years. So I understand the need for community. It brings in a lot of all nations from all across Canada. It's one of the centers where if there's somebody come from Halifax and they're on the way through to Toronto, they'll stop in just going through. They'll access services just for overnight accommodations, then head on to Toronto the next day, or if they're going back the other way. There's a lot of Inuit people that transfer from northern Quebec. They make their way down through, and this is like the funneling point before they go through to the rest of Canada. So it's an integral part of the community in Montreal. I have a good feeling it's going to be here. We need it. It's absolutely mandatory for it to be here. There was a talk about wanting to start up a new friendship center, but that's not a viable idea. It doesn't make good business. It doesn't make sense. It's not common sense, because how much money does it take to start up a friendship center? Not a few $100,000. We're talking a few $1 million. And then we have to talk about, you know, you have to get a brand new charity organization number. All of that, it takes years for it to get started up again. And then by that time, all these folks here will have either slid back down into their self-destructive modes, or they will have moved on, but their lives will be disrupted. And that's not a good thing. I would say a good part of them are on the verge of crisis. So they come to the center, and we do have clients to go into crises, and we do service them. We take care of them as best as we can. That's as much as I can think of at the moment.
According to you, what would be one or a few like sustainable solutions to keep the center running?
Good question. That's what last night we were talking about. That, and we'll have to come back to that question, because there needs to be some further clarity in terms of our action plan. We do have concrete ideas. We have lots of excellent information that will assist the Friendship Center in moving forward in a good way, that people will not be hurt. We've thought extensively in terms of this needs to be done correctly. It needs to be done by the book. We follow the mission statement within our guideline, within the policy. We need to follow those, because they're there to keep everybody safe. If we go outside of those, then we're in trouble. So we've done that to the best of our ability. Now we're gathering information and going to be taking the next step.
And what kind of information are you gathering?
Information that's sustainable to the Friendship Center, and also information that is incorrect.
You've had at least one meeting so far. What was the general atmosphere or feeling, and what kind of ideas or concerns emerged during that meeting?
Through that first initial video, it was a good opportunity for community members to voice their feelings about the Friendship Center possibly closing down. And everybody's in shock. People are like, can't believe that this is happening. More in large, why is this happening? Why is this happening to this Friendship Center now? I know the Friendship Center itself is the first time in 16 years that it's out of debt. It owes no money to any other government official. And now we're at risk of losing core funding. It's a pinnacle opportunity to, I don't know if it was done deliberately. I think it was, no, it has been done deliberately to try and to find a way to bring down the Friendship Center and close the doors for personal reasons.
Is there anything else that you would like to add that we did not talk about so far?
But we need to be careful about how we go about stepping forward. As a board of directors, we need to make decisions that everybody is inclusive. Mm-hmm. And those decisions are integral to the functioning of this building and ultimately to the people that come through the doors each and every day. The Friendship Center itself, that's what the policy and that's what the business is for. But it's not for us to go down and say, you need to know, we don't give voice. We give information that helps and assists the community members to feel this is their home still. The doors need to continue being open and servicing people. And Friendship Center is moving forward. I see a lot of brightness and bright ideas moving forward. Yeah, I just need to keep focused, keep calm. When things do rise, you know, as a community member, board of director, you know, my role is to bring that idea forward and be confident and be clear about my sharing of my ideas.